We're jumping out of Mark for a couple of Sundays to only jump back into Mark and continue reading through the Gospel of Mark. Today, we are in John 6. That gives us some details that we don't have in Mark. And we begin with verse 22. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. They went on a wild boat ride. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Fill in the end of this sentence. It's a desperate sentence filled with all kinds of desperation. I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. Horse seems to be the standard. Where in the world did that come from anyway? How many of you like horse? Cow, I get that one. Anyone pig? How about an old boot? I mean, when we're hungry, it's amazing what our gut drives us to do. Amen? But of course, we're Americans, and we know a little bit about cuisine. We all have our favorites. You know, you smoke ribs only a certain way. You do a brisket. You know, you have your favorite potato salad and nothing else can touch it, right? And then when something happens at the restaurant, we're pretty quick to do what? Grumble. I mean, that's just the way we are. Food is pretty close to home for all of us. We've been eating it for quite some time. And so we're all experts at it in one way or another. But it's interesting. Food actually got us into trouble, too. Way big time trouble. Remember the Garden of Eden? Not eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil would symbolize our love for God, our respect, our faith, our worship. It would keep us in the rightful place, honoring God, loving him, trusting him. I mean, what was it about that that was so desirable? That, frankly, the human race ate itself out of house and home and got the curse of God on their heads. That literally wrecks everything in our lives and earns for us God's death sentence and eternal wrath and punishment. Wow, what a meal to skip. Tragically, it's too late. But it's interesting how food has a place. Even in the Old Testament, there are certain things you don't eat to honor God. But what's this thing about Jacob and Esau, huh? I mean, Esau, what would you give up for a bowl of lentil soup? Well, you know, listen, we can get pretty desperate. And so we can relate to poor Esau. Because we like our food. I mean, that's just the way it is for us. And it's interesting how we also understand when we need certain things, when we're drawn in certain ways by the desires of our body. And that's not all bad, is it? I mean, but isn't it interesting when we're really hungry, we need something that's substantial? Like a horse? And when we're thirsty, a Coke doesn't satisfy like just old-fashioned H2O? I mean, we recognize some of the signs when we realize we're in physical need. What about spiritual hunger and thirst? What are the signs of spiritual hunger? What are the signs of spiritual thirst? I mean, Jesus says a very profound thing today in our gospel reading. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall not thirst. I mean, if we're just going to physical food and drink, we're missing the point. There's something far, far different here. Certainly, the Lord provides us with all that we need to support this body and life, to be sure. But what's going on here? What are the signs of spiritual hunger? What are the signs of spiritual thirst? I'm so hungry I could eat a whole bunch of Jesus. I'm so thirsty, I could drink a whole tall glass of Jesus. Our meditation this morning is titled, Jesus, Our Soul Food. So how does this make sense? What's going on? What are the signs? Well, there's plenty. How about fear? How about anger? How about feeling guilty? How about shame? How about pride? How about lust? How about greed? Those things are, when they happen to us, we're in spiritual need. We're in desperate straits. And those signs aren't always easy for us to read or recognize. We're just angry. We're just afraid. We just want to self-deprecate, or we are thinking way too highly of ourselves than we should. But those are all signs of spiritual hunger and thirst. And those are important signs to heed and to understand that it's to those very things we have really good soul food. We have the best. We have Jesus. That's what he came to satisfy us, to satiate us, to fill us up with his love and his forgiveness and his courage and his joy. Because man, satisfied on those things, there's no better way to live. There's no better way to face the challenges that are a part of your life and my life, like it or not. But we have to recognize the signs and understand that that's what Jesus is talking about when he says, whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And boy, that's what we need in this world, where we can be so spiritually starving to death. Starving and thirsty and hungry and not knowing what to do. Amen? So, any junk food junkies? Man, I'll tell you what. For me, there's nothing like a bag of potato chips. I've rarely met a potato chip I haven't liked. I mean, I'll tell you about a couple, but man, I'll tell you. And that kid in elementary school that would show up with a bag of barbecue potato chips drove me nuts. I was so jealous, crazy jealous, so angry at my mom and dad. Boy, talk about spiritual hunger and thirst there, huh? Don't remember his name. Don't remember how long he lived in the valley. All I could never get over is the fact that he could eat what he wanted to, and a bag of barbecue potato chips was like the best. Okay, I'm getting over it. Still like my chips. How about you? What's your favorite junk food? Confess. It's okay. Worry. Okay, you're going a little too fast for me. But amen. Isn't it crazy? Just a, you know, side note, worry is a spiritual junk food. Why do we like worry so stinking much? Because it's just like barbecue potato chips. Gosh. Ice cream, other ice creamers. There's nothing, no problem that can't be solved without, you know, just a gob of ice cream. Anybody else? Come on, we're at church. Trail mix? Trail mix, well, yeah, especially if there's a lot of M&Ms in it. And yeah. Sunflower seeds, I don't know. You know, some of these things, are they bad for us or not? I mean, that's the question, right? Look at our American lifestyle. What's it doing to us, right? We're going to find out. Skittles was a vice at the first service. Anybody a Skittle junk fooder? Yeah, you can only have one back there in the back. Isn't it amazing how much junk food we really like to consume? I mean, it's really nice when Karen's not around, because then I might have quite a few for my meal. And yeah. So what about the spiritual junk food? We talked about worry, fear. I mean, it's hard to think about those things as being junk food, but why are we drawn to those things? Because there's a payoff. Because it's about us. It's about what we're supposed to figure out. And that's the problem. And that's what Jesus is actually talking about in our gospel reading. It goes this way. You know, he says to them, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you." In other words, it's not something you have to labor for. He'll give it to you. "For on him," that is Jesus, "God the Father has set his seal." I mean, John chapter 6 is such a fascinating chapter. It is so powerful. Christ simply wants them to understand who he is and to receive him. And he pours himself out to them. And he's doing it right here. And, you know, the next Sundays, you'll see more about this. But it's fascinating. So he's saying, "I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you." And then here's how they respond. "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" So this one sentence showcases all the different kind of spiritual junk foods that we can substitute for Jesus when we're spiritually hungry and thirsty. It's thinking that it's up to us. That's why we worry. It's thinking that it's up to us. That's why we get angry. We think it's up to us. That's why we despair, thinking, what's the use? Why even try? So we just swallow a whole gob of self-resignation to the world around us, thinking in despair. Or thinking that we can handle it all, pride. This is the spiritual junk food that's no good for us. It hurts us. We can't live on this. But that's what they're thinking. And then Jesus sets it straight. Verse 29, Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God." This is the work of God. Not you, not me, not us. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. That you believe in him who he has sent. How many years have you believed in Jesus? That's what it's about. And when you're hungry and thirsty, snack on him. Lord, I'm fearful. Lord, I'm angry. Lord, I'm depressed. Lord, I'm lonely. Lord, I'm thinking way too much of myself, and I know this isn't good. Lord, I'm helpless, hopeless. That's when we need Jesus, and he's given to us, for God so loved the world. We were connected to him in baptism. We've received him in the forgiveness of our sins, in the words of absolution. We receive him in the meal today. You are what you eat. You're forgiven. You're empowered. You're filled. No more grumbling spiritual stomach because of Christ. He who believes in me will never hunger, never thirst. That's a promise. And I know it almost seems too good to be true, but this is the truth that the Lord wants us to hold on to trust in. When that spiritual junk food of guilt or shame comes a knocking, he wants us to trust in him. Lord, I'm going to snack on you instead. I'm going to trust in you. I mean, that's what he would have us receive from him when we're spiritually hungry, when we're spiritually thirsty. You know, it's interesting how God has tied so much into eating. And it's fascinating. There is some different ways that we can actually consume what God has for us. And there's some examples in the Bible that's really intriguing. In Ezekiel, when Ezekiel starts his ministry, he's been hauled by Nebuchadnezzar in one of the deportations, the second one we figure, where Daniel was already hauled. And he's ministering to the church in Babylon. And, you know, God wants Ezekiel to do something here. This is part of his call. And so God says, where is it at? You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. You got to eat this broccoli. It's good for you. And he said to me, 9. Then I looked and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament, mourning, and woe. What a diet that is. And he said to me, son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll, then go, speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, son of man, eat this scroll I'm giving you and fill your stomach with it. So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. He then said to me, son of man, go now to the house of Israel. Speak my words to them. If Ezekiel was going to be able to say anything to anybody, he needed to have a diet of what God wanted him to say. And it was a better diet than he thought. It was a diet of God's truth and what God would do. In both law and promise. If any of us have any chance to be able to speak to others, we need to eat as well. It's fascinating. So John the Apostle, when he's receiving the revelation of Jesus Christ, he was also commanded to eat, to take and eat. And it was sweet, bitter to his stomach. And you know, this really isn't that far away from us, for some of us that grew up saying this prayer in the old Lutheran hymnal. Let's read it together. Let's pray it together. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. Take them to heart. Take them to mind. That by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Gosh, that's what it's about. We need to snack on this every once in a while. It's not going to ruin your appetite for Sunday morning word and sacrament. It might even make you more excited to take and eat, take and drink, taste and see, to hear and process what God has done for us through his Son, and to empower us to not only receive a great spiritual diet, but to share a great spiritual diet with others who are spiritually struggling, who are spiritually thirsty, who are spiritually starving and could eat a horse or a cow, but will not be satisfied by such spiritual junk food, because Jesus is our soul food. He's the one who has promised to fill and satisfy. And there are places in your life and my life where that's not easy for us to understand. But take him at his word. Trust what he has to say. He is our soul food. He is our soul food. I mean, let's read it one more time. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And faith says amen to that. Celebrating the good news that only Jesus satisfies, and that receiving him often in word and sacrament, and snacking on him whenever we have those spiritual hunger and thirst pains, is what it's all about. I don't know, we used to live in Louisiana, and boy, people in central Louisiana love their food. Of course, they love their food here in North Texas, too. But this is really eating. Trusting in, snacking on the Lord. Because Jesus is our soul food. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.